Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cenacle series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee today. We are indeed blessed and blessed every day. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what a joy to be together today on Laudate Sunday. It's just incredible. It seems every time we have Mother and the Sisters, it's some feast or some special day. God knows exactly what he's doing. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be live at this time. So I see Mother and the Sisters. Not quite sure if we have the audio set up. Sister will let us know right away. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good. Okay, so you can hear. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So I'm going to pin the video here and see if I can get this right here. I should take my pin off. You don't want to see me. So I'll remove me. There we go. That's much better. And we have a close-up of Sister Gloria. Hello, Sister Gloria. So you can hear me okay, right? Okay, that's wonderful. Well, Mother, it's again a joy to be together today. You know, Mother, I was I was thinking about a few things, and today being Laudate Sunday, we know in Volume 16, December 26, 1923, Jesus tells us, quote, "For one who lives in the divine will, it is always Christmas," end quote. Now, that's true. Because Jesus is bringing himself as if he's born again every day and allowing us to be born again every day. We could also say the same for every day journeying the divine will is a day of gratitude, a day of thanksgiving. And we could also say that every day is a day of Laudate, of joyful hope, of just, you know, knowing things are going to be right. You know, I was also thinking, Mother, that there's two great events in everyone's life. Number one, when they're born. And number two, when they discover why they were born. And the second is exactly where we are today, because the gift of living the divine will has been introduced to us. And again, without meaning, there's no happiness. And hence, that's probably the reason why we have many that have so much in this world, yet are so unhappy. You know, we are nothing without God, and yet with God, we are everything to God. So what a joy to be together today. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. Yes, it's, your joy comes from God. Loving God, living for him, that's where your joy comes from. That's one of the first questions and answers we learned in the Baltimore Catechism when I was little is, why did God make us? He made us to know, love, and serve him, to be happy in this life and the next. So if you want to be happy now, you got to know him, love him, and serve him. How do we get to know him, loving, and serving? Well, you read the scriptures, you follow your Catholic faith, and read the divine will. You're going to really get to know him from reading the volumes. But I think that's where our joy comes from. The more we live with him, the more we realize in divine will, we're taught to realize his presence within, doing everything in and through us. The more we realize that, the more our joy increases. The more we see everyone through his eyes, the more our virtues and virtues and attributes of God grow in us. I was just reading this, you know, in volume, this is volume 2, June 12, 1899. Jesus made me understand my nothingness. Ah, I seem to be a grain of sand in the midst of a most extensive sea, which is God. And this little grain went to dissolve itself into the immense sea. It dissolved in God. So as we become more and more dissolved in God, the more our joy increases, the more we die to ourselves. And as we die to ourselves, it's not a sadness. When we realize that we are nothing without him and we can do nothing without him, we don't get sad. We get happy because he is our joy. And, you know, that's the great suffering that souls in purgatory, one of the greatest suffering really, is that they've seen God, they know him, and they can't be with him. And their souls long to be with him, and he longs for them to be with him. He's calling them to himself, and they want to come, but they can't because they can't stay in that perfection of God with their imperfections. So as they wouldn't have perfect joy in heaven if they could get into heaven imperfect. So purgatory is a great gift from God for us to be purified so that we can have greater joy for all eternity in heaven with God. But that's the great suffering. And so can you imagine what kind of a God we have? Is that's the greatest suffering in purgatory. It's greater than being thrown in a big pit of fire. Louisa suffered that suffering throughout her life, longing for God because she would see him on a regular basis. She knew who God was. She had great faith. She had grown in her faith all the messages he gave her concerning the divine will, how much he taught Louisa. But in order for her to learn that, she had to really bear the cross. And so don't feel so bad when we have to suffer the cross. The cross is what transforms us. The cross is what makes us more like God. And I've known people that have suffered a lot, and they're so transformed. They're so beautiful. If they've accepted their suffering. Now, you can suffer and rebel against the cross, and you don't grow. It's just wasted suffering. But our Lord said, resign suffering, the suffering that you resign to, knowing that God is allowing you to suffer for a greater good, for other souls. He continues his redemptive suffering in each one of us. He needs us to do that. He's gone now. He's not on this earth in his body except in the Eucharist. But he's not physically here like he was when he walked on the earth. So now he wants to continue his redemptive suffering in each one of us. And he suffers in us as we suffer. So we have to realize that, think of him suffering within you when you're suffering rather than yourself. And be resigned to it, knowing it's a gift from God. He said, the cross is the greatest gift. And if we knew the value of the cross, we would compete to have more crosses with each other, you know.
It's true. You know, if we think about the saints, if they had any remorse, it was that they didn't have more time on earth in which to suffer. You know, well, Jesus tells us, he tells us point blank. He tells us that he placed more grace and graces in the cross than he did in the sacraments. Mm-hmm. So next time we have a cross that's come our way with God's mysterious permissible will, embrace it. Because again, he says, the more graces I give you, the more I love you. We think of it the opposite, but again, everything is going to be different than the way the world teaches. So the world teaches, oh, don't suffer. Don't have a cross. It's terrible. Oh, you poor thing. No. Lord, if that's your permissible will to have me suffer now, I know it's going to bring about, like you said, Mother, a greater good. It's only a matter of time. It could be immediately. It could be tomorrow. It could be later today. We don't know when. We only know guaranteed certitude. We know it's going to happen, and it's going to be greater than what we have now. So again, there's no such thing as a bad day anymore.
Well, life is short. Eternity is forever. And you know, when Louisa would lament that she didn't want our Lord to chastise the people, he would say, but Louisa, you don't understand. The body will die. Soul will live forever. If I can allow purification in order to save the soul, that's my love, that's my mercy. So his justice is his love and his mercy. He sends justice in order to win us a higher place in heaven, in order to get us in heaven. You know, so we have to don't lament over the cross, but be grateful for the gift of the cross and ask our Lord to give you the grace to bear it well. You know, bear it without complaining. Bear it with joy and resignation. I mean, some of the saints, they longed for the cross. Louisa did. She understood the value of the cross so much, she thought Jesus didn't love her anymore if he didn't send the cross, if he didn't allow her to be crucified, you know. She was crucified in a mystical way continually throughout the day. Our Lord would come and crucify her. And she longed to suffer that with him, you know, to take his suffering away, because he suffered over the loss of souls. I mean, in a sense, yes, in his humanity, he can't suffer. But when you think about God and Our Lady's crying tears of blood in statues all over the world, you know, why is she doing that? she's suffering and lamenting in the way that you can, I guess, as a holy person like Our Lady was, and the Trinity being God, that souls are being lost. And they love souls so much. The great love that the Trinity has for each soul is so immense that the loss of one soul is a terrible, terrible tragedy, you know, to heaven. God loves, he wants to share his love with us. His love is, that's why we were created out of love. His love was so immense that he had, it was like an explosion of love from his being, that we were all created from an explosion of God's love. And like I've said before, and I'll mention it again, you were always in the mind of God from all eternity. He created you out of billions who will never be. You were chosen. That's how much God loves you, how special you are to him. I was too reading.
We were all conceived too. As Jesus was conceived in the womb of our Blessed Mother, so were all of us.
Right, right.
And especially, he took special attention. I don't know exactly the vernacular he used. He took special liking and attention to those who he knew would embrace this gift and would embark on this journey through and get and in and to the gift of living the divine will. So it's all here. Actually, in the City of God, the mystical City of God, Mary Agreda, we were all present at the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And through the explication, you know, what was not known before but was always there, we find out that during the Last Supper, the first one to receive our Blessed Lord in Holy Eucharist was our Blessed Mother.
Right.
The angel Gabriel came down from heaven and administered the Holy Eucharist to our Blessed Mother first. Again, you can't find this stuff out unless we trust, again, when verified, the words of the mystics, which, again, awaken that mysticism that is in each and every one of us, when authenticated by the Church.
Everything is present to God. So when you pray your rosary, you can do a divine will rosary. Place yourself at the crib when Jesus was born. You know, how was Jesus born? Some of the movies, movies that don't understand. It was private revelation. We know how he was born. And Our Lady was always virgin. Mm-hmm. She never lost her virginity. Mm-hmm. He wasn't born like babies usually are.
Right.
He came out of Our Lady's stomach, came forward, and an angel received him and gave him to Our Lady. So even an angel was there, and then Our Lady let Saint Joseph hold him. So we believe that through many mystical experiences people have had, but the Church says Our Lady was always virgin. So how could she remain always virgin? It had to be the birth was that way. She didn't have birth pains. She went into ecstasy. Our Lord came forth. An angel received him and handed him to Our Lady. What a beautiful, beautiful time that must have been. And you can place yourself in the stable with Our Lady and Saint Joseph and Jesus and be there at Christmas time with them, because everything is present to God. All the mysteries of the rosary, you can place yourself at the foot of the cross and know that is present to God. The crucifixion is present to God. You're attending him at his crucifixion. So, you know, to really do rounds in the divine will is beautiful. You can put your I love you and all these things and be present there to God in reality, because everything is present to him.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sister Magdalena, kumusta ka na?
Mabuti po, salamat. Hi, Peter. Oh, hello, everybody. Happy third. This is Gaudete Sunday. Joyful Sunday.
Sige.
Yes. So I would just like to add to what Mother said, you know, a while ago. It seems like, you know, surrendering to the will of God is also, it's like the word resignation come to mind. That's living in the divine will. Part of that big time is resignation to whatever God gives us. Everything is gift, be it comfort or crosses. These are all gifts for us, and we should be grateful at all times. So there's a good reason for the joy that we should have year in, year out, all season. I would like to share my reflection on the second excess of love, because we've started meditating on the excesses of love. And it's about Jesus' constricted love. And so I would go straight to what the Lord says about his constricted love. Do you see how much I have loved you? Oh, please, make me a little space in your heart. Remove everything which is not mine, so you will give me more freedom to move and to breathe. You know, we talk about suffering and how we should embrace our crosses, imitating the lives of the saints. You know, we all know that this is easy to say than done. This is the ideal, perfect ideal is to embrace. But in our weaknesses, sometimes we find ourselves complaining without knowing it. It's just almost automatic that we complain. But then when we practice giving thanks to the Lord through acts and rounds, it becomes a habit also to be grateful. So we can choose either to be grateful, make it a habit as a grateful person, or we can make a habit as a complainer person. There's no in between. There's no such thing as a vacuum in our, you know, this morning at Father's homily, we attended the Mass with Father. And one of the things we talk about, or he said in his homily, which one of the monks shared, is whether we choose our follower, we either follow God or follow the enemy. And it's about obedience, you know, obedience to the will of God. So either we obey to God, doing his will, whether we like it or not, we have, because we love him, we obey him. Or if we don't obey him, we cannot say, oh, well, this is my way. Actually, it's our way, yes, but whenever we go away from the will of God, we're automatically going the way of the enemy. And so this passage, he talks about constricted love. So he wants us to give him space so he is able to move. Now, what is this space? I was meditating on this. How am I going to constrict the Lord's love in me? It is by doing my human will, do what I want instead of what God wants. And I don't know with you all, but for me, it's probably more like I want to give into my sense of comfort, what my sense of what is right. It all comes down to pride. And I think we all have that tendency to be proud, that we think sometimes, you know, we are better than our superiors or better than our parents or better than God. You know, we even give sometimes God counsel, you know, Lord, why don't we do it this way? I think this is better. And I sometimes find myself that way. And so Jesus explains to Louisa, down in this passage during this meditation, Jesus showed Louisa how to give him space to so he can freely move in her. And there's basically detachments to everything and to give everything to the Lord. And so I continue the reading here. And Louisa says, he taught me how to love people without detaching myself from him. That is, by looking at creatures as images of God, in such a way that if I received good from creatures, I was to think that God alone was the prime author of that good, and that he had used the creature in order to send it to me, so my heart would be bound more to God. This is Christmas season. More likely, we'll be giving gifts, whatever it is, favor from people. And we need to remember that these are instruments. We are all instruments. Either we receive gifts from other people or we give gifts to other people. There's no room for pride here, for huffiness, because everything comes from the Lord. We are grateful, of course, for the benefactors, but we have to put in mind first that it is the Holy Spirit who guided them. And so ultimately, it is the Lord that we are giving all of our thanks, and the creatures, including ourselves, are just instruments. And I continue here. If then I receive mortification, I was to look at them also as instruments in the hands of God for my sanctification, so my heart would not stay huffy with my neighbor. So mortifications here are like the sufferings. I'm sure none of us would like to deliberately make other people suffer unless you really have some problems, you know, spiritually. But I think none of us intentionally do that. But because of our weaknesses, we can say something without intentions and can hurt other people, and we are hurt by other people. And this might be things that is not coming from God, obviously, because it's outside of love, but God allows these things to mortify ourselves for our own good. And Jesus says, even to this, we need to be grateful, because God allows this for our sanctification. Now, this is easy to be said and done. I myself experience this. When I am opposed, when my opinion is ignored, or anything that hurts my pride, or whatever button it is that is pushed that causes my weaknesses to surface. Now, when I don't give life to it, I'm proud and all these negativities, but I have to step back and say, Jesus, what is the right, you know, ask myself, what would Jesus do if he is in this situation? I would not give life to what I feel or what I want to say. I would not give life to it. Instead, I would ask Jesus to take over my thoughts, to take over my emotions, so that even though I feel bad, I want to do what I want to do, it would not come out as such. That would be just, you know, that's not perfect, but that is one way to overcome our weaknesses, is to step back, bite our tongue, you know, whatever it is that we want to do, step back and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And then I continue here. When the divine master freed me from the external world, that is, you know, external world, our environment, then he put his hand to purify my interior. And through an interior voice, he told me, now we are alone. There is no one left who may disturb us. Aren't you happier now than before when you had to contend many upon many? You see, it is easier to contend one alone. You must consider as if you and I were alone in the world. Promise me to be faithful, and I will pour such and so many graces into you that you yourself will be amazed. So what Jesus is telling me during this meditation, and I think maybe you are too, is that being alone with God is not to go into a mountain and become a hermit and be a lone person. What basically he's saying is that in everything that happens, be it good, consolation, or mortification, to always think of God, to be alone with him, so that our suffering will not be so bad, so difficult to endure, nor happiness that is so makes us so elated that we would forget God. So that we are alone always, and we're more likely to be, like Mother used to tell us before, more likely to be even keel, Mother, like even keel. You don't swing back and forth unstable. You're more stable, basically. And then he continued, I have made great designs upon you. And this is for all of us. This is not just for Louisa. He's telling all of us, I have made great designs upon you as long as you correspond to me. I want to make of you a perfect image of me. From the moment I was born up to my death, I myself will teach you little by little how to do it. So let's meditate and pray to the Lord the grace to be like Jesus in his image, even in his constriction in his mother's womb. Maybe we are allowed by the grace of God to feel that constriction in the world right now. We are in the womb of the world. We don't belong to the world, but in a sense, we are still in the world. And we are in this womb, with other brothers and sisters. And we are suffering with Jesus. And so in this constriction, we may be looking some comfort. Maybe looking, I want space for myself to be free. Well, the freedom comes from living in the divine will, to really think of God. This is where true freedom comes from. So when we feel mortified or gratified, it's all in God. And when we think of God all the time, acts and rounds, studying and asking for the grace, first of all, to be nothing, true humility, the humility of Jesus Christ. And he said, Jesus promised us that he will pour out all the graces through our Blessed Mother. She's full of grace, all the graces upon us. Mother mentioned about our Blessed Mother. Of course, she said, you know, how when she gave birth to Jesus, and she's the mother of Jesus, she's our mother. And our Blessed Mother, when she wants to give us something, Mother Mary wants to give us all that she has. She's full of grace, and she is going to give us her fullness of grace, but that requires our participation, our cooperation to this calling. That means we have to listen to what Our Lady is telling us. And what does she tell us? Listen to my son. Listen to what he says.
Yeah, and Our Lady says, just come to me. Ask me. You know, two quick comments about what you said. Number one, you mentioned about having opinions ignored. Well, when I had a full house here, the estrogen in the house outweighed the testosterone. So my opinion was always ignored. So I know that very well. Number two, this being Christmas season, let's not also forget what St. Peter said. I'm going to paraphrase. He said, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Every one of us can share the divine will with someone we love. Now, whether they accept it or decline it, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But we can also do that. And it doesn't cost us anything except a little time, a little effort, and a little confidence in God to take it to where he needs to take it. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So happy, joyful Sunday. So I like to read a little passage from July 14th, 1932, volume 30. And I chose to read this today because it's really hopeful, and it just encourages us to keep on going. And Jesus gives us the assurance in this passage that the kingdom of the divine will come on earth as it is in heaven, even though the world isn't in a good place right now. So in the beginning of this part, Louisa is telling Jesus, "My love, even though I try always to act in your will, and I pray and pray that its kingdom come upon earth, there is nothing to show for it yet." So Louisa's telling Jesus here, like, "I'm praying and doing acts and rounds in your will, but I don't see anything yet." So then Jesus encourages us through telling her this. And Jesus replied, "Good daughter, that means nothing. Indeed, you ought to know that the prayers and the acts done in our will have so much power because they participate in our divine act that they must give souls the goodness that they contain. They place themselves as guards over the centuries, and they guard them with so much love and with invincible patience. They wait and wait, and with the light that they possess, they knock at man's heart. At men's hearts, they make themselves light for their minds, and without ever tiring, because they are not subject either to weariness or to weakness, they act as sentries and as faithful sentinels, who do not leave until they have given the blessing that they bear." And then later on in the same passage, Jesus tells us through Louisa, "So if you see nothing, do not be concerned. You continue your life and your acts in my will. This is more necessary than anything to form the currency with which to pay for a kingdom so holy on behalf of your brothers. And besides, you must know that my own life spent on earth and my own acts find themselves in the same condition. I paid up for all, and my life and what I did is at everyone's disposal." So before God incarnated to man, it's like before that time, like all the patriarchs were waiting for the Messiah, all the prophets. Even in the book of Isaiah, we see that the foreshadowing of Jesus, especially in Psalm 51. And even Mother Mary was praying for the Messiah to come soon. And I remember reading in Voltorta that Jesus actually resurrected earlier than resurrected in the morning time instead of the evening, because Mother Mary's prayers hastened his resurrection. And also Jesus came to earth sooner because Mother Mary prayed so much for the Messiah to come sooner to earth. And in the same way, the more acts and rounds we do, and the more we pray for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, we can help to hasten the coming of the kingdom on earth. So it's just really important to just not get discouraged. And also, another meditation I thought of today is that during the gospel reading of John, it talks about how some people were asking John the Baptist who he is. And John the Baptist, in his great humility, he realized his nothingness. And he said, "I am not the Messiah. I am the one who makes straight the pathways of the Lord." And that really reminds us of how great an Advent figure Saint John the Baptist is, because he really encourages us to just keep our hearts pure for Jesus, and our heart is like a stable for Jesus, just keeping our heart clean so baby Jesus can be born in all our acts, because as you said earlier, every day in the divine will is Christmas.
That's right. So true. You know, you mentioned about learning about Jesus teaching us, you know, the intus legere, I think is the Latin, which is the form of intellect, which means the act of entering. So God uses one of the properties of our soul. He actually uses all three: intellect, memory, and the will. But in the intellect, he comes and he presents and he deposits something. But then it takes the grace, it takes that mystical gift to convert that into understanding. And then it takes another grace of God to take and convert that understanding into wisdom. Again, it's all, and it can happen succinctly, it can happen very, very quickly, or it can take time depending on the disposition, how much we really want this. God is ready to give us everything at one time, but he realizes, number one, we can't handle it, and number two, he wants us to masticate on it. Just like what St. Hannibal said. He only read, St. Hannibal said, 1 to 2 passages a day, because he said he wanted to fully digest as much as he can to the greatest extent that he could. He didn't want to have too much. You know, again, this is not quantity over quality. I really think the divine will is quality over quantity. We can go in the window of the divine will with just a small snippet, just a little bit. That's all we need.
Hello? Yes?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I'm still here.
Okay. That's right. Even if it's just one.
I'm on air.
Will, can you hear me? Oh.
Yes, I can.
Yes, okay. I lost you. Okay. Yes, even if it's only one divine act done in the divine will, because in the divine will, there's everything there, like all the love, glory, and honor, all the goods. And God gives everything, even if it's like insignificant, like acts, He gives us everything so we can do everything in the divine will and bring it up to God. The volume that I read today is from 29, September 12, 1931. And here Jesus taught Luisa what he is doing all day long in the Blessed Sacrament. And I think it's really great to meditate on, like for preparing the Christmas, because in the Eucharistic life, there is everything, all 33 years of his life. So this is what Jesus said to Luisa. My daughter, do you want to know what I do? Before Luisa asked, what do you do, my love, in this prison of love in the Eucharist? And this is what Jesus said to Luisa. My mother, do you want to know what I do? I do my day. You must know that my whole life spent down here, I enclose within one day. My day begins by being conceived and being born. Excuse me. The veils of the sacramental accident serve me as swaddling clothes for my tender age. And when, because of human ingratitude, they leave me alone and try to offend me, I do my exile. Left with only the company of some loving soul, who, like a second mother, cannot detach herself from me and keeps me faithful company. From the exile, I move on to Nazareth, doing my hidden life in the company of those few good who surround me, and continuing my day as creatures draw nearer to receive me, I do my public life, repeating my evangelical sins, offering to each one my teachings, the helps, the comforts that are necessary for them. I act as father, as teacher, as doctor, and if it needed, also as judge. So I spend my day waiting for all and doing good to all. And oh, how many times I have to remain alone without a heart that would palpitate near me. I feel a desert around me and I remain alone, alone praying. I feel the loneliness of my days that I spent in the desert down here. And oh, how painful it is for me. I who am heartbeat for all in each heart. Jealous, I guard everyone, feeling isolated and abandoned. But my day does not end with the soul abandonment. There's not one day in which ungrateful souls do not offend me and receive me sacrilegiously and make me complete my day with my passion and my death on the cross. Sacrilege is the most ruthless death that I receive in the sacrament of love. So in this tabernacle, I do my day by carrying out everything I carried out in the 33 years of my mortal life. And just as in everything I did and do, the prime purpose, the prime act of life is the will of my Father, that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in this little host, I do nothing other than implore that one be my will with my children. And I call you in this divine will, in which you find my whole life and act, and you, by following it, ruminating it, and offering it, unite yourself with me in my Eucharistic day, to obtain that my will be known and reign upon earth. And so you too will be able to say, I do my day together with Jesus. Fiat. So when we do our adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, this is really great to meditate on, like that in that host to Jesus, his sacramental life is there in his whole life. 33 years of life on earth of his mortal day is still continuing on in the host, and we can put our love yous in every moment of his life, from the conception to the death, and then we give it to our Lord. And also when we receive the Eucharist, we receive it with the love of Our Lady, with the love of God, and then give it back to God, the love that he deserves. And he only wants one thing, one prime purpose is the will of God, that he wants to accomplish it. He wants to bring the heaven on earth. And just recently, we had the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Our Lady of Guadalupe is also a lady of divine will, because when you look at her image, the mantle that she wears, the blue mantle, there are like stars. I think it's 46 stars. And also the dress that she wears, inside is like pinkish. It represents, it symbolizes the earth. So she is, she's a mediator. She's a person like who lives totally in the divine will, because in her, she is enraptured in the sun. So she is living in the divine will. And also in her, there is God. So, and she is embracing the heaven and earth, and combining them, and in adoration, she's giving back to God. So just like Our Lady did, we should also remember how she adored throughout her whole life, to adore him, to love him, to honor him, to give him the glory and the divine will. And that's why this continuous doing acts and rounds is so important, because it gives life to the divine life in us. Just as soon as we, you know, decide to do one act, divine act, and uniting our will to the divine will, then the life of divine will is conceived in our acts, and it also provides a space so that it can keep growing in us. So let us not to be afraid, but just really, really abandon ourselves in the arms of God. Then he will do everything. Then we will also feel that all our actions that we do in our life is sustained and supported by the divine life. And if the life needs continuous nutrition, continuous life, and that in the divine will, it's acts and rounds. When we continuously do, then we are giving food to the divine life in us. And that way, we can grow in living in the divine will. So let us continue to living in the divine will by doing acts and rounds. And especially, we only have a few more days before Christmas time. By doing meditating, also excesses of love of Christ, we can think how much he suffered, like even when he was starting from, since he was conceived in the womb of Our Lady, and he already knew everything that he had to suffer for our salvation, because he had a complete intellect. So let us thank God for coming down on earth to save us, and give him all the love and glory that he deserves by doing acts and rounds.
Yes, and a reminder today, always to be joyful as we're journeying, as we're entering deeper into this gift of the divine will. You know, as God is, as Jesus is, and our Blessed Mother is busy depositing in our intellect these truths, and then converting them from understanding to wisdom, let us not be surprised if we have some difficulties. I remember Louisa saying she confessed that these truths were difficult to communicate to others. And that reminds me of what Father Iannuzzi said on a Radio Maria program. I think it was May 2021. He says that the gift of living the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but is very easy to understand once we accept it. End quote. So I think it's when we accept it, we give our fiat, we're given that grace. Remember, Jesus says, as much I've got to give you, and most of it you have to first enter into. So once we accept that, we give our fiat, then he can trust us with more. And as we get that additional knowledge, that's what's going to bring everything to light. Again, we're going to understand this to the best of our ability on earth, and then that's going to continue. Again, we're constantly learning, and we're so blessed because God has enrolled us in the kindergarten of the divine will. How beautiful. And we're going to be in the kindergarten for the rest of our lives. Right, Mother?
Yeah, we've got four kittens here. Two of them here, two of them there. Anybody interested in some beautiful cats? You know, we you can, if you want to come to Merriwell, I'll show you. How can you show the two cats?
And the price
these
is right.
Get the other two.
That's a big cat right there, Sister Pamela. And Christine.
Hello, they're two months old. You want to go get the other two?
Oh, nice.
Well, that one's going to run away.
These were the five kittens that were.
Here, give me one. Give me one.
We arrived to Tennessee, Mother. Now they're grown.
Okay.
And these were given to you by Father Elijah, right?
Yeah, the mother, we came here. There was
He's no dope. He gave you five of his kittens. That's good.
There was a pregnant cat that came their way, and she had five kittens. We found a home for one. They're beautiful cats. Yeah. And you see this one. They're very, very nice little kitties. And there's one yellow tabby and a black and a beige, a beautiful beige cat. So, sis, we have two aspirants here. You want to come and introduce yourselves? They're going to enter soon, maybe in February, both of them, and they're taking care of the cats right now. This one is a little bit scared.
They're big now, but they used to be very little when we arrived here.
These two hold. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, Christine.
Hi.
Can you see?
Hello, Christine. Sure. Hi. Christine from Minnesota, right?
Yes, from Minnesota. Christine. And that's the beige cat and the yellow, the orange tab. If you're interested in the cat, you can email me or email the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. And we're here in Merriwell, Tennessee. If you want to come pick one up, we'd be glad to give it to you. I want to make it a pet. They're beautiful cats, and we can't keep them all because we'd be moving on the mountain when the monastery is built. And there's all kind of wild animals up there. And I'm afraid the little kitties, if we don't have them indoor cats, they would maybe be hurt by another animal. But anyway, they would be nice indoor-outdoor cats or indoor cats if you want. But anyway, these are the – can you see them, Welly Good?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Hello. Okay, so anyway, these are – this is Iriana.
Iriana,
you want to say hello?
Hey, Iriana. Where are you from?
Arizona.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Welcome to Tennessee.
Thank you.
And this welcome to the School of Mary. You're stuck now.
Okay. Yeah, good to see you again, Peter.
Yeah, you too, Chrissy. Okay.
So now we're going to give it over to Sister Pamela. She's got the little black cat there. You see the black?
Hello, Sister Pamela.
It had to be the black one because I'm wearing black. So
sure. It only makes sense, yeah.
So I was, how we were talking about the sufferings and all the, we're having through a lot here in America because these new changes and, you know, like a lot of new experiences. But at the same time, it reminds me of, especially since we started doing the novena of the nine excesses of love, the real suffering of Jesus constantly in the Eucharist. And I was reading in the Book of Heaven, I think yesterday, how he's explaining of his eternal immolation in the Eucharist, that is the constant supplication for the Father for the salvation of souls. And there's nothing that Jesus has suffered that he's not going to share with us. So our constant life here on earth is really a precious gift for us to suffer. And at the moment, especially me, suffer comes to my life, I want to reject it, or I'm like, why is this happening in my life? But then I always try to focus on what's the real suffering that he's going through. Like, what I suffer is not really like anything compared to what he suffers for us. And I was reading from volume 16, February 16, 1924, and it says, immense sorrow and infinite joys of the heart of Jesus. And he's explaining to Luisa how his heart was always in constant pain, but also at the same time, the divinity was sending flows of happiness and joy to his heart. So it was a combination between life, like new life and death, and new life and death, like over and over again. And then further down the reading, he tells Luisa, but who shares more in this immense treasure of my heart? One who suffers more. For each pain, for each sorrow, there's a special joy in my heart, which follows that pain or sorrow suffered by the creature. Sorrow renders her more dignified, more lovable, more dear, more worthy of sympathy. And just as my heart drew upon itself all divine sympathies by virtue of the sorrow suffered in seeing sorrow in the creature, which is a special characteristic of my heart, watching over this sorrow with all love, I pour upon her the joys and contentments which my heart contains. And as like my experience, I have experienced that a lot. Like when suffering comes right after, maybe not even a few minutes after my suffering, there's a joy of from God, like I am with you and you're not alone, and while you're suffering is nothing more than me sharing with you how I'm feeling. And it's just a constant. We need to be really thoughtful of that. Like it's hard because we are humans and we are so original sin is being afraid of suffering. Like we are really reluctant of, and we think that suffering is like a punishment from God, which in reality is love, because we are called, and now that we have the knowledges of the divine will, it's beautiful because it's being transformed. I mean, the fulfillment of creation is going back to that likeness, image and likeness of God, how Adam was, innocent Adam was created, and Eve as well. So I just, even during this Christmas time, how Peter was saying in the beginning, Christmas in the divine will, every day is Christmas, because each one of our acts is a constant regeneration and incarnation of God in our acts. And we are really fortunate. Like if you think about it, being living in during this time and era of time is really a blessing, because there's, I mean, imagine the saints from the past. They obviously they are enjoying heaven now with God, but they are begging for us to really ponder in these knowledges, and not only like a practice or like, oh, there's another devotion or oh, it's fine, but really taking it personal, because the relationship with God is a personal thing. And if you don't take it seriously, then nobody's gonna make you, God is not gonna force you to take it seriously. So we really, in this Christmas, really try to ponder in that, and the nine excesses of love, like really the ingratitude and the selfishness of human nature, really how it hurts him so much, and try to put yourself in that womb of our mama, because Jesus is really waiting for us to be in that womb. I mean, imagine being 9 months, not being able to move. I mean, for 9 months in the womb, I was also doing the second meditation, and it says in the one of the in the readings, like also my dear mother suffered from seeing me in the womb not being able to move. So imagine it was the pain of the eternal world, which is immense, to be just like incarcerated in a womb of a woman, of Our Lady, and then Our Lady being his mom, not being able to do anything, and just feeling him not moving. So if you're really pondering those mysteries of God, of the passion, you're going to forget about your own sufferings, and it's going to become a single suffering with God, and it can be transformed into a divine virtue, divine life, which can be spread throughout the world. And this can really help the end of the world. Like if you think about it, if you have that intention of constantly doing these rounds, it's for the conversion of all sinners. We got a sad news about the war in Israel. They are now bombarding the convent, the Catholic convent in Gaza, and it's just terrible. But at the same time, is the chastisements are coming, because that's the only way humans are gonna go back to the origin of how we were created. So I really encourage you to keep pounding this in your heart and making a reality, making it your life, not only as a devotion, but really as life, and love each one of the sufferings that God sends you to be transforming him.
Yes. And that pondering, that also, that helps us, again, using the mystical gifts that God places, to take that knowledge that God's deposited, now to convert it to understanding, and ultimately to equivalent into and equal into wisdom. And Jesus tells us, in volume 16, November 10th, 1923, quote, "My wisdom calls the most little one out of nothing," end quote. So that's how we become something to God, when we embrace what Adam had, what Adam lost, and that we willfully acknowledging and wanting, desiring to be like our blessed Lord. Again, he wants his paternity back. That's all.
Yeah, and it's like in the gospel today also how they're asking John the Baptist, who are you? And he just said, I am the cry from the desert. That's a beautiful thing to say, because he's at the same time, he's nothing. Like, he recognizes he's nothing, but God is giving him the grace to be something. The precursor of Jesus Christ. So it's how you said, Peter, like, you forget about yourself, you become nothing, but at the same time, God really, really takes care of you.
Yeah, so in our nothingness, we find our everything, that's for sure. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Hello, just... mother with cat.
Hello. Yeah, you want to hold it? So I was just...
Up. I think you got muted, mother. Maybe Sister Jacinta hit the button.
Huh?
Is it... Oh. Okay. Okay. Right, we're good now.
Okay. I was just reading here, volume 3, January 31st, 1900. Then he said, what is the passport to enter into the kingdom of grace? It is humility. Through humility, by always looking at her nothingness and seeing that she is nothing but dust or wind, the soul will place all of her trust in grace, so much so as to make of it her master. And grace, taking dominion over all of the soul, leads her along the path of all virtues and makes her reach the summit of perfection. So when we realize our nothingness, we grow in humility. That's where our joy comes from. You know that no one can hurt you when you're really humble and you realize that you're nothingness. But you know, I've got sisters that when they enter the monastery, they think they were more perfect out in the world. After about a year or so, they begin to see their faults. They begin to see their weaknesses, and they think they're going backwards. But no, that's not the case. As you see your weaknesses and you feel your weaknesses, and you feel like you're losing it, you're getting worse than what you were, that's a good sign. You're getting to know yourself. So I tell them, no, out in the world, you didn't know yourself. Now God is revealing who you are to yourself so that you can die to these things, these idiosyncrasies, the lack of virtue that you may experience, die to that and grow in greater perfection. So it comes from seeing who you really are. As you see God, you see yourself. It's like looking at yourself in a mirror. When you clear off the mirror, a foggy mirror, you see all your blemishes. But as you get closer to God, the light of God, great light of God, you see all your imperfections. But that's good. And as you see your imperfections, but you see them with joy. When you see them through his eyes, you have peace in your heart. And you're not upset. You're not, you think that if you feel yourself as ugly or bad, that you get depressed or no. But when you see them through God's eyes, all your faults, you see them with great joy. And then you begin to look at others and their faults with great joy and peace. Not that you're joyful over other people's faults, but that you begin to appreciate who they are. And you begin to even feel that their faults make them more beautiful sometimes. Just the thing that you don't like about somebody, when you see them through the eyes of Jesus, you change your opinion about them and you begin to appreciate who they are, you know. So everything, you know, the more we live in God, the more joy we have, the more peace we have. It's that, you know, that's where it's at. If you really want to have a joyful life, embrace the Lord with all your heart. Live for him every moment of your life. You know, if we realize there's just a thin veil between us, this world, and heaven. Heaven is more real. They say that people who have had a life of death experience, everything that they experience is so much more real than this life. And so the more we experience God, the more heaven becomes more real to us, and this world becomes more unreal. And you don't put so much stock in everything around you. You get become detached from all the things of the world that hold on to you, the things that you have. That, you know, we came from Italy with lots of things, and now we're realizing we don't need all those things, and it's a burden to go through them. And decide what you have. Sisters are laughing. We have all of this stuff in the barn, boxes of things we took. We don't even have a library to put our books in. So, you know, what do you do with all these things now? So we have to find, you know, we found a Karm store the other day. Karm stores take all people's junk. I'm not junk, but, you know, old things, and they sell them, and they take care of the homeless people with the money. that they get from that. I don't know if it's just here in Tennessee, but I thought we might be going over to Carm's store after a while with all of our things that we realized we don't need. We thought we needed them and we took them over here. But, you know, we possess a lot of things that we really don't need. And the people who have less sometimes are the happiest. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas time now. It's a time of giving. I think we're happier in giving than receiving. You know, you give a gift to somebody, you get excited. You want them to be as excited about that gift that you gave them as you are over that gift. And sometimes it's not what they want and you get disappointed because they're not so excited as you thought they would be, because it's probably something that you would want and you give it to them, you know. But joy in Christmas comes in giving more than receiving. And so this is a time of giving. And I think with the Christmas spirit coming upon us now, people are happy and they want them. There's a lot of shopping out there, you know, but we just have to spend our time with the Lord. You know, today, where the excesses of love started today, I think.
Yesterday.
So read the excesses of love, meditate on that, and really ponder the birth of Jesus right now. What Our Lady and Saint Joseph were going through right now, going to Bethlehem. Then when they're in Bethlehem trying to find a place to stay, they were homeless, yet they had peace in their hearts, looking for a place to stay. That's how Jesus wanted to be born. He wanted to be born poor because he was teaching us the value of poverty. Not you can be rich and not be attached to things. And you can be poor and be attached to the little things that you have. So it's all about detachment. You can have things, but don't be detached to them. Anybody wants them, you're willing to give it away if you can. That's the kind of detachment we have to have. Are we willing to give away anything that we have? Or do we hold on to things? And those people that hold on to things think they have to have them. They lose some joy. Your joy comes in being willing to give anything away, being willing to be poor as Jesus was in the cave. He chose to be born. He was God, but he chose to be born in a cave. You know, he could have been born in a palace. He chose to be born very poor because he knew that that would bring us joy. People, very wealthy people, it doesn't make them happy. Money doesn't make us happy. We know that. We've heard that many times. So only living for God can give you that joy. So anybody else wants to share something right now?
Just really quickly, Mother, I think it's really important about, you know, God allowing us to see our imperfections, because then we know what we have to work on. I mean, think about it. I mean, in the world, I mean, our drinking buddies are not going to tell us we're drinking too much, or our video game partners are not going to say, "Oh, we're playing video games too much." No, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be, you know, business as usual. So God gives us that unbiased, loving example of what we're doing and what we're not doing, so we know what to work on. And again, I think it's beautiful to know our imperfections, and I'm quite busy fixing my
mother. Yeah. Speaking of imperfections, I'm still thinking about, you know, Christmas season and receiving gifts. I remember my old life in the past, you know, how I myself and some friends of mine complain, like, I don't like this, you know, maybe I should pack it up and maybe give it to somebody else, you know, like re-gifting, you know, of that expression. And yeah, Mother was mentioning about, you know, sometimes we receive gifts that we don't like and we feel unhappy. And I can't help but remember what the word again, resignation, thinking that all the things that ever happen, we receive or we give out of love, we receive out of love from other people, and we may not like it, but think of it as coming from the Lord. You know, I always thinking, always reorienting our mind to God, and that word resignation comes from. I think when we resign to everything and nothing kept for ourselves, my want, what I want, what I wish to have, then we tend to be more happy. When we're resigned to whatever God gives us, then we are happier and we are less disturbed. When we start thinking of ourselves, what I want to receive, what I want to give, what I want, all this, then it takes up so much of our time. So I would like to share another meditation that I did today from volume 6, April 9, 1904. And again, it talks about resignation. And Louisa, in this passage, Louisa was complaining, you know, that she's not good enough, you know, she's really bad. And we can all relate to this. How often can we really look at ourselves and we are our worst critic, you know, where, oh, I'm not good. But then the Lord tells her, "My daughter, do not want to afflict yourself because of this." So all our weaknesses, the Lord doesn't want us to be so consumed with it that we lose our peace. He said, "It takes nothing to remedy it." So there's nothing we can do really to change ourselves. God knows that. And then he said, one act of perfect resignation to my will is enough for you to be purged of all this ugliness that you talk about. So what I think from this is that, you know, no matter how bad, you know, Mother was mentioning about entering into the community in the beginning, you know, I felt like I'm really holy, you know, I got it all done. But then as the longer you live in a religious life, you start to see your weaknesses. And I had told myself, you know, I'm really this bad, I'm ugly and all these things that I don't deserve to be in this community. I shouldn't be here. I should leave because, you know, it's not for me, you know, all these negative things. But the Lord did not want me to think of that. He wants me to focus in Him instead of focusing on my weaknesses. So this is what He meant, to forget about ourselves. And then He says, so it takes nothing to remedy it. One act of my perfect resignation to my will is enough for you to be purged of all these uglinesses that you talk about. And I will say to you the opposite of what you think. I will say to you, and this is the Lord says, how beautiful you are. I feel the fire of my love in you and the perfume of my fragrances. With you, I want to make my perpetual dwelling. So Jesus told Louisa this, but I can also say that Jesus wants to tell this to all of us. He wants us, our soul, to be His perpetual dwelling. And when we desire to love Him, when we desire to live in His will, and we try our best to cooperate with His grace, then He is telling us how beautiful we are. And we are, through these desires to love Him and all that we try to do to return His love, you know, acts and rounds and our love for Him, putting I love you in every cat in the world and every hair of the cat and all the cats does and all the cats move and all of us, everything in His creation is I love you returned to Him. And this gives Him joy. These are His fragrances. We are making Him His perpetual dwelling. Then he continues here. Then when the confessor came, I told him everything. And he said to me that it was not right, that it is okay. This part here, the confessor told Louisa that apparently Louisa told the confessor that one perfect act of resignation removes all the weaknesses. And the confessor did not understand what she told him. So he said, no, that's not true. You have to have perfect sorrow to purge the soul. Well, so Louisa asked the Lord, you know, my confessor told me that it was wrong. Jesus, you were wrong. And so Jesus clarified and he said, my daughter, when it is about voluntary sin, then it takes the sorrow. Yeah. But when it is about imperfections, weaknesses, coldnesses and the like, and the soul has put nothing of her own, then a perfect act of resignation is enough for her to be purged if needed. Also of this state, because in doing this act, my soul encounters my divine will first, which purges her human will and embellishes it with its qualities, and then she becomes one with me. So if it is a voluntary act, sinful act, mm-hmm. then we have to be remorseful, sorrowful, and go to confession. We need to go to the sacrament whenever we commit mortal sin, because it's voluntary. We know better, and we do it anyway. But if it is just weaknesses, we are overcome with our anger or pride, and we didn't mean to say something, we didn't do it, we didn't mean anything, and or maybe even ignorant, we didn't even know, it's just impulse. Then perfect resignation is basically going back into the womb of the divine will, stepping back and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't know what happened. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to do it anymore. And then rectify that. How do you rectify? If it is possible for us to go to the person that we hurt, to feel I'm so sorry, to do something about it, to do acts and rounds, to pray for that person, to on this behalf of this person, I will do some acts of love by, you know, asking the Lord to do whatever it is that is committed to do. Jesus, do this in me. If it's a sin of selfishness, then I would probably, for myself anyway, I would probably do acts of giving, charitable work, and not thinking it as my own charity, but Jesus doing this charitable work to repair, basically. So we repair as Jesus repairs. That's what it means to be living in the totally in the divine will. And so I think perfect resignation is just basically not giving life to our human will, not giving life to our prideful impulses, sinful impulses, not giving life. Even though I wanted to, like, oh, I just want to make it clear that I am right. Sometimes, you know, it's better to just be silent and let God take care of everything.
Amen. Go throughout the volumes too, Mother. Louisa gives us beautiful prayers. We were talking earlier about, you know, the intellect being stimulated by God, the knowledge, and then that being converted to understanding, and then, of course, wisdom. Louisa gives us a great example of a prayer in Volume 18, November 22nd, 1925. This is Louisa, quote, and it could be ours too. May my mind rise in the supreme will in order to cover all the intelligences of creatures with your will, so that all may rise in the divine will, and in the name of all I give you, Jesus, the adoration, the love, the submission of all creative intelligences, end quote. So again, we'll find them sporadically in the past. That's why it's so important to read too. You know, we may be content at some point. Okay, I've read enough. I understand. Yeah, you may have enough to enter into the gift, but to get deeper into it, to go down to the basement, to go to the second floor, the third floor, so on. We talked about this unveiling everything. We need to keep going forward. Now, again, God can do this without any knowledge of Louisa. We know that. We can't say you have to have the volumes. That's Gnosticism. But we do know if God has made these writings available to us, he is expecting us to read and listen and journey. It's the quickest. It's the shortcut, basically, he's given us. Sisters?
Yes. In divine will, you know, every day is Christmas. And God wants to give us presents, surprises of new gifts every day, not only on Christmas, but every day. Like Louisa, she really paid attention to do everything in the divine will. She didn't want to waste any acts. And like her heartbeats, breath, words, and prayers, she wanted everything to come out of her as many repeated acts of divine will. And she just wanted to be a continued act of divine will so that she can say, I have in my power all your acts, your very love, and therefore I do what you do, and I'm not less than you in loving you. It's because of the divine will, it does in her. That's why she was able to possess that perfect love, that complete love, and then she was able to give it all to God. You know, true love doesn't restrict. It wants to expand, and it wants to receive the whole of divine will. And our God the Father, his paternal love, he gave us freedom, so that we can come to him every time we want, so that he can give us new gifts every time, whenever he wants to us. And then how do we receive a gift? We just receive it. We take it. We don't borrow it. But we just take it and give thanks to God and then possess it. And that's how he wants us to receive the gifts of divine, living in the divine will. He wants to give lots of gifts. He has everything. He's omnipotent. And he wants to throw, you know, a party, a feast every day to us, because every time, always, he has something to give to us. And he's just like Father who wants to be surrounded by his children, to enjoy it, to have happiness together with him. So when we are in the divine will together with the God the Father, and this divine love, divine blood, it flows in us, and then it makes us to able to receive the immense immensity of love and divine life, because it really allows to possess the will of God. And it is not us, but it's God doing in us. Really, God is looking for the souls that wants to receive the gift of divine will. And if it do, even if it's one single divine will acts, it changes the earth to heaven. And even on the earth, all the angels and saints, they're all eyes to the souls that are living in the divine will. Because, and then they see that this divine life, divine acts coming from the earth, not from the heaven. And when we do the acts in the divine will, it also multiplies the glory and love, all the effects of divine will they receive. So let us remember just to be with God, to be near him, to be around him, so that we can just receive and then give it back to God. And that's what he wants. That's all he wants. He just wants to love us tremendously, and he just wants to be with us, around us, and he wants to be received. He wants to be loved by us.
That's a great receive and give back. That's really the definition of the divine will, is the reciprocal of love. And, you know, there's so many examples of that also. We've got, I mean, one of the greatest examples I feel of true love and true sacrifice is exemplified beautifully by St. Anne and St. Joachim. Remember, they had beautiful, pristine lives. Their lives were beautiful, except they had one void. They were childless. And then what does God do? He gives them not only a child, he gives them the child of child. He gives them the Blessed Mother. And what does St. Anne and St. Joachim do at 3 years old? They take that beautiful gift that they waited their whole life for, and they give it back to God. They give her back to God. What a great example. What a sacrifice. What true love. Again, that's a great example for all of us.
Yes. And also, like, just an simple example would be, you know, like the parents, young parents that are expecting a baby. For the whole 9 months, they are preparing everything for the bundle of joy, you know. And then, like, even for the grandparents, when they are waiting for their grandchildren, they're preparing the candies they like, everything they want to give. And that's how God the Father is waiting for all of us. Yeah, so just looking at these cats, it really reminds me of how God created everything out of love for mankind, and how all of creation like reflects attributes of God. So, for example, when I see these cats, it reminds me of like the gentleness of God, and just how God wanted to give like man like these little companions. And also, and speaking of gifts, it's like really important to for us to have a spirit of gratitude too, because I remember one of the accesses of love, Jesus said that ingratitude was the harshest pain that he felt in the womb of Our Lady. And even and most people don't know that baby Jesus suffered even before he was born in the womb of his mother. And I like to read a little bit from the eighth axis of love. So it was kind of connecting with what Sister Gloria talked about earlier, about God giving us his love and us giving it back to him, kind of like an eternal round. So Jesus was telling to all souls, "My child, give me your heart. I will give you everything you want, provided that you give me your heart in exchange. I have descended from heaven to make a prey of it. Oh, please do not deny it to me. Do not delude my hopes." And in seeing him reluctant even more, many turned their backs to me. I passed on to moaning. I joined my little hands in crying. With a voice suffocated by sobs, I added, Oh, I am the little beggar. You don't want to give me your heart, not even as alms? Is this not a greater access of my love, that the Creator, in order to approach the creature, takes the form of a little baby, so as not to strike fear in him, that he asks for the heart of the creature, at least as alms, and in seeing that he does not want to give it, he supplicates, moans, and cries? So the King of the Universe incarnates himself as a man in the womb of the Virgin Mary, so it's easier for mankind to approach him, and so that we won't be afraid of approaching God, our Creator. And connecting to the passage Sister Gloria talked about towards the beginning of the program with the Eucharist, I also believe that's why Jesus hides himself, truly his body, blood, soul, and divinity, under the Eucharistic veils, so we won't be afraid to receive the Eucharist, so we can just really have Jesus within us. And also reading this reminds us of like the Song of Songs, like the relationship between the bridegroom, the divine relationship between God the bridegroom, and for all the souls, for all the brides. So in the eighth axis of love that I just read, Jesus gave us everything. He gave us his whole, like, he gave us like everything. He even gave himself to us in the Eucharist every day. Now God wants us to give our wills to him, so our wills can be united perfectly to his wills. And that's really the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, like the two wills walking as one. And God gives us everything in return, and out of gratitude, we should give everything out of love to Jesus in return.
Absolutely. Every day. You know, you mentioned about the ingratitude that Jesus felt in the womb of our Blessed Mother. He also states that that was his greatest pain in his humanity. I mean, think about the 10 lepers, just for one example. You know, one comes back. Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? So we cannot continue that process. We have to reverse it. We cannot cause any more ingratitudes, and then we can repair and redo it with our axe and around. So again, everything is at our disposal. we really got a great job. We've got the best job in the world.
Yeah, I was just reading here in volume 2, September 19th, 1899. He says, here is how I want you to occupy your soul. First, fly upon the wings of faith. And in that light, by plunging yourself unto it, you will know and acquire ever more news about me, your God. But by knowing me more, your nothingness will feel almost dissolved, and you will have no place to lean on. You, however, rise more and dive into the immense sea of hope, which is made of all my merits that I acquired in the course of my mortal life, and of all the pains of my passion, which I also gave to man as gift. Only through these can you hope for the immense goods of faith, because there is no other way to obtain them. So as you avail yourself to these merits of mine as if they were your own, your nothing will no longer feel dissolved and sinking into the abyss of nothingness, but acquiring new life, it will be embellished and enriched in such a way as to draw the very divine gazes upon itself. So the more we grow in that nothingness, the more we grow in our hope, our faith, and our love, our charity. And the only way we can grow in that nothingness, and our I mentioned each time, is reading the volumes, of course, to have faith in all that God tells Louisa is really true, and to do an acts and rounds and divine will. I mean, if we don't do that, our Lord told Louisa, losing one act and one round is a big loss, because it's a divine act, a divine round. We can't do acts and rounds. Only God can in us. And so they become divine acts. And that's such an immense thing. If we knew who and what God is, we'd realize what a great thing one act in divine will done by God, a divine act, how immense that is. He says, those who live in his divine will have the highest places in heaven. St. Louis de Montfort said the greatest saints in the history of the church would be those in the latter days. We think that those would be the ones living in God's divine will. We think that's coming soon. We see a lot of things happen in the world in the church, but we feel God's getting ready for something really big and wonderful. This is the greatest time to be alive. We're so fortunate to be alive now. We can get these beautiful books, these beautiful volumes. I know when I received them in 1998, I knew that was the best thing God had ever given me, his divine will. I mean, he's given us life, yes. And putting us in his Catholic Church, you know, that those are great gifts. How privileged we all are, how blessed we are. But, you know, to have these beautiful gifts, don't let them be wasted. Make sure you read them every day. Don't just put them on the shelf, but read every day and get in a habit. You know, we're creatures of habit. You make a habit of reading it every day, especially if you read at the same time every day, it's easier. You look forward to it. You know, we have a monastic schedule. It's easy to pray. It's easy to do all these things we do because we do them all at the same time every day. We have a time for adoration, a time for spiritual reading, a time for mass. We have a time for everything. And so when you have a scheduled life like that, it does help you to get things done. You get much more accomplished when you have a schedule and you follow it, but you look forward to it. It's not drudgery. You know, it's like if you go to mass every day, if you just go on mass on Sundays, try going maybe 2 or 3 times a week. Then after a while, you're going to be going all week every day and you're going to look forward to it. You get so much grace from it. Same thing with reading the volumes, reading the scriptures, praying your rosary. If you pray the rosary every day, you're going to find it easy after you get in the habit of it. So we are creatures of habit. We formulate either good habits or bad habits. You know, we're getting close to a new year now. People like to make their New Year's resolutions, but you can make them ahead of time. Give that as a Christmas gift to Jesus, that you're going to read the Divine Will writings every day and take them really seriously and really be seriously doing acts and rounds and Divine Will to get in that habit of it. You know, I think it's important. So why don't we all give him a Christmas gift and do that? Just be determined to read the volumes and to really live them, apply them. You can read all you want, but if you don't apply what you read, it goes nowhere.
Yeah. That's right. You know, Mother, I just had another infusion of gratitude. I'm so grateful that the microphones that we got you all are wireless, because I'd hate to be responsible for somebody getting strangled or their airflow being cut off by getting tied around with that cord. So thank God we have wireless mics coming.
We're charging the batteries.
There you go. Good. Hopefully soon.
Say something.
Okay. Practice makes perfect, Mother. Is that what you were saying? Okay. I would just like to say something about Mother. And, you know, we read, and then if we do it into practice, you know, it's not going to be as fruitful. I mean, it will still be fruitful, I think, Mother, if we read it, because if you read it, you receive the grace already. And then, because you can't help, when you read something, you can't help but learn something from it.
Right.
But when you put your desire into it, when you really put your will into, like, I want to know God, I want to love God. When we do this, then there's more graces to come. But if I say, well, I'm just going to read this because, you know, my mother told me to do this, someone else do that, but I do this anyway. I mean, I don't have any desire yet, but I do it in a way because somebody is telling me, I would still get some grace from that. Because once you read it, you really can't help yourself but learn something from it. And then when you read the first few sentences, then you get hooked. So don't be discouraged if you share the divine will and people may respond in the beginning like, oh, well, okay, I'll do it just to make you happy. It's okay. You know, there's still grace from that. And if you try to share the Divine Will books and maybe there's no interest yet, don't be discouraged. We will do this on their behalf. We'll do all acts and rounds in Divine Will on their behalf. And in God's time, in God's perfect time, it will come. Either not from you, but somebody else will give the books to them. And then by that moment, through our prayer, through our acts and rounds on our behalf in divine will, then they will eventually get. So don't get discouraged. We should not lose hope. Don't get upset or judgmental. It's just the way it is. The God only knows everything. We cannot know the minds of God. So no. Yes, just read it. And then and there are people out there who probably don't know the divine will, they haven't read, but they're doing already virtuous acts,
right?
And we cannot judge, but some of them probably are even holier than some of us who read the divine will and not really putting a lot of seriousness into it, you know. So there's no judgment here.
Understanding, Mother, understanding is predicated on our desire to understand. How much do we want to know? That's what God's going to give us. So really it's up to us with that.
Well, that's what the whole divine will is all about. It's all about the desire. You desire God to do an action, he does it. It's all about what we desire. He does work. But the part that we have to do is we have to desire it. We have to desire him to come and do everything in and through us, everything we do throughout the day. Now we make that prevenient act in the morning. We don't have to worry if we don't do it much during the day. But our Lord says this makes it so much more powerful when you call him into all your activities throughout the day at different times when you think about it. And I think that's what we can get in the habit of doing. If you get in the habit of calling him into things, the more you do it, the more you remember to do it. You know, so God knows how weak we are and how dumb we are inside of him, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we forget. God knows that. But if we have that intention, we wake up in the morning, we have an intention that we want him to do everything in and through us throughout the day. He will, just by that desire that we have, you know. He takes the desires of your heart and they become realities. So we have to believe that. We have to believe what he told Louisa as true. And you know that it's true because you judge everything by its fruit. Mm. And are you changing when you read the volumes? When you're doing acts and rounds in the Bible, the more acts I do in the Bible, I know the more I feel I'm being transformed. The cat's trying to play with a cord here. So we don't want him to tear up the equipment here.
Sounded like the cat hit he increased the volume because all of a sudden you're louder, Mother.
Oh, maybe he cut him off.
In a good sense. So yeah, maybe the cat increased volume. Thank
you,
cat.
Two males and two females. This is a male. And this little gray one's a female, and the orange one's a male, and the little black one's a female. Yeah.
So, Sister Magdalena, which one's the most malakut?
Oh, you know what? I'll show you Fiat.
Okay.
Fiat. The first one we caught, the first one who sat on our lap, the first one who played with us. And look at this, pretty malikot, but she's very good, the best.
The male.
The best Fiat.
How great.
All boys, rambunctious right now.
We name him Red, like sun, like the sun.
Yeah. Son of the fine wheel. Okay, that's Fiat.
Beautiful.
Okay, so anyway, back to what we were saying, you know, that don't get discouraged. Don't try so hard too. Sometimes I think we can try too hard. And our Lord just wants us to relax and to be. You know, Father Valente, I don't know if you knew Father Valente, he's dead now, but he at the beginning in the Divine Will, he was one of the big speakers at all the conferences. He wrote a book, From the Head to the Heart. But he says, you know, we're human beings, not human doers. We do a lot. We don't know how to just be. Just be with God. Let God do it all in you. but you have to be with him in order for him to do everything in you. But you have to realize that, realize his presence within. I think, you know, I love the devotion, the divine indwelling, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, Brother Lawrence. They had a great realization of the Trinity dwelling in their souls. It's a great gift. And you can ask God for that gift. Ask God for that grace to realize his presence within, because you really grow in holiness in that way. You know, they were very holy, and they were just totally resolved really, really into God. As we do acts around the divine will, we get into that sea of divine will, blended into everything Jesus did in that ocean of love, you know, and you feel that love and you begin to love other people more because you begin to see everyone through Jesus's eyes. And that's what we want. But in order to get there, I think we really have to be attentive to him throughout the day, dwelling within us, doing everything in and through us. It's a day, way of praying always. You don't have to sit in the chapel all day long. I think adoration is wonderful and we should do that, but you don't ever leave God. You never leave him if you do an action rounds and divine will throughout the day. You're with him. He's with you. You're in him. He's in you. And you become, like St. Thomas Aquinas said, like a little God. That's what we all want. That's what we're all aiming toward. That's what we all desire, to live totally for God. This life is coming to an end for each one of us. If you live 100 years, it's just a drop in the bucket. Oh, not even that compared to eternity, you know. So we only have one stab at where are we going to end up? But you don't want to do that. You don't want to do action around in divine will so much that you get a good place and high place in heaven. You want to do them because they give honor and glory to God. Our motive, if we're going to have a pure motive, has to be all to give God the honor and glory he deserves. You know, the divine will writings talks about the fourth degree, the 4 degrees of living in the divine will. And some people try to figure out which degree they're in. Well, if you try to figure out which degree you're in, I don't think you're in any degree, because I think God wants you just to think of him, not yourself, you know.
That's good. You're going to be out of just, divine will, Mother.
If you don't think about where you are in the spiritual life, you just think of him, you will get there. Just stop thinking of yourself. Try stop even practicing virtue. Just live with him, and he's going to practice the virtue in you. That's the best way, because when we're thinking of practicing virtue ourselves, we're doing it, and we're thinking of self.
Right.
But when you think of him, you're going to be kinder to other people. You're going to be more charitable. Louisa would never let anyone criticize anyone else in her presence. Charity was very important to Louisa. Some people say, I don't need to go to confession anymore. Well, Louisa went to confession for 7 hours. She had a confessor. So if you think you don't need confession, if you don't need to pray the rosary, Louisa had the rosary in her hand 24/7. So, you know, all these things, you don't have to change what you're doing. The devotions that you feel God wants you to do, you don't have to change that. You just ask Jesus to do them in you. You know, some people in divine will think, well, you don't have to do the divine office anymore. No, we're obligated by the church to do that. But we do the divine office asking him to pray it in us. And it becomes a divine will act. So you don't lose anything. Everything you're doing,
right,
attending Mass, you ask him to attend Mass in you. You listen to the priest's words through your ears, but knowing that they're Jesus listening. Jesus is listening within you. When you respond to the prayers, Jesus is responding in you. And if you realize that and think of that, you're gonna grow in holiness, and you're gonna have a lot of joy, because you're gonna be realizing the presence of Jesus within you, doing everything. And that's the way that we grow and live in the divine will. I think more people are living more totally in it than what they think they are. You know, we think we go in and out a lot, but I think no, we're just human. We forget, you know, but as long as you're not sinning and you're not losing your patience in any way, you're being docile to God, you are living in his divine will, you know. And what do you say when you just go out of it just for a little bit? You just say you're sorry and get right back in. So, you know, you don't lose anything. So it's a great life living it with Jesus and divine will.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mother. It's about taking everything and placing it under the umbrella of the divine will. That's all we're doing. And I think it's one of the biggest paradigm shifts that make this difficult sometimes to understand. God changed everything. You know, the saints, what they did, that's who they became. Now he wants to turn it upside down, about like that, right, Sister Magdalena? He wants us to be first, and then that will intend drive what we're called to do. Because, again, we all have our office. And there's no office in the divine world. There's no office greater than the others. Okay, we're all part of this huge symphony. And the one who clasps the cymbals, although he or she may only have one or two parts in the whole symphony, they're important, because if everything comes to a climax and there's no symbol, you recognize it. So we're all pieces of the puzzle, all important. Without each and every one of us, it would be an incomplete puzzle. The divine will not be complete. Remember, Jesus says, I know the number that must embrace us, and I know the acts that those numbers must perform. And then it'll come.
One work is not greater than the other. What's the greatest is if you let Jesus do it in you, even if it's the most simplest act of picking up a pen on the floor. Mm-hmm. If you ask Jesus to pick it up in you, that's a greater act than some great job or work that's not done in his divine will. Mm-hmm. Take the kitty cat now.
Okay.
Yeah. One act in the divine will.
Sorry,
is
we greater
use
the program
than...
to advertise our cats, but you know.
No, that's good. I hope you find a good home for a few of them. Again, I think Father Elijah was very, very clever. Here, mother, take these beautiful cats. Oh, okay, brothers, we got rid of the cats.
We did it on our own. We caught the cats.
Oh, really?
Cats.
Okay.
I realized this. They were a little wild. They weren't petted when they were babies. They came out from the house. Father's house, the five kittens, when the five sisters arrived, the day they arrived. So we decided to catch them in a cage, and we've been petting them, and we found a home for one now. We have four more. But, you know, we thought if you don't catch, and I can't let them loose again because then I may not be able to catch them again. Now, they're tame, but, you know, I don't want to. If you let them wild out there, they would accumulate and would have cats all over the place. Right. So I thought, well, we try to find homes for this. We had the mother fixed so that she's not going to have any more kittens. I don't know if God likes us fixing cats, but, you know, we can take care of some. We can't take care of hundreds of cats, you know. So, so we did that anyway. But anyway, that's a saga of the cats. We decided to catch them and tame them and try to find them homes. And I think they'll be better off. I'm thinking of the cats. What's best for the cats, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so closing thought, my mother or sister, anyone would like to speak?
We just thank God for everything, for cats, for dogs, for everything. Yeah. A lot of people out there have their pet dogs, and thank God for your pets. God gave us these little creatures to give us joy. That's how much he loves us and how kind he is to us. We have beautiful wild animals here. We have deer all over the place. They're beautiful, and squirrels. And, you know, we put our I love yous on all these things. So let us do that. Let us put our I love yous on all that God created, all the beautiful gifts he gives us, all the food that we eat, all the things God gives us on a daily basis, the fact that we can eat and drink and, you know, we can walk and we can talk. Some people can't do that. Mm. Be grateful for all these gifts that God has given you, and that you're healthy and that you're strong and that you can continue to serve God. So just, you know, right now during this time when we're meditating on our Lord in his mother's womb, you want to get the little statue of Our Lady there. Someone gave us an Advent statue here. It's beautiful. It's Our Lady pregnant, going to Bethlehem with Saint Joseph. See the little.
Oh yeah, I've never seen that before. Very nice.
Beautiful.
And like I heard before, and I mentioned it before, why did Our Lady ride a donkey to Bethlehem? Because she gave her fiat.
She gave her fiat.
Like I said once before, mother and sisters, please don't give up your day jobs.
Yeah. We both.
Thanks be to God, mother. Thank you. Thank you for spending this time. I'd like to end with a little bit of a supplication, and then I'll open up the mics so everyone can say goodbye to the mother and the sisters. But again, we thank God for this opportunity. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The kingdom is so valuable that once you have glimpsed it, it's worth parting with everything you have in order to gain it. Even though to others, we may look like a fool, we know of the hidden treasures, and that makes it worth everything. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to open up the channels. If anyone would like to unmute themselves, you may do so now. Great.
Bye-bye, sisters.
Goodbye, sisters.
Bye-bye. Good luck with your cats.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, everyone. Bye, sisters.
Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good to know that you're in the United States. It's good to know that you're in the United States.
And thank you. We're glad to be here. Bye-bye.
God bless you
bye.
All.
Bye, Mother. Bless you.
Bye, Gloria.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, sisters. Bye-bye.
Bye, mother.
Bye-bye.
Don't send a cat here.
Yeah. No cats.
I'll send you one, Anne. Okay.
No, that's all right.
Anne's going to have one.
Mm-mm.